Night Sister.
Radio Reverb.
You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @hiv_hour and Instagram at @hivhour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com. Hello.
Good evening. How are we? Did we say the same
twins.
Thing then?
We're twins, aren't we?
Welcome to the,
especially in the studio,
HIV Hour. On Radio Reverb, and for any new listeners, we are a dedicated radio station that goes out on the air to talk about HIV and living with HIV in a positive way. And we've got some special guests on our show this evening, and we're going to say hello to David. Hello,
hello
David.
Hello, David. Good evening, Josh. Hello there, Carl.
How are
it's
you?
Nice to be in the studio again.
Yeah, good, good, good. So we're going to chat to you in a second. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get your story out. I believe you do a lot of stuff at the Sussex Beacon, which you're going to introduce
right, yeah.
in a second. And we've got no Stuart today, have we?
No, no Stuart, no Sue.
No Sue.
They're leaving us in droves.
Yeah. Gosh. There'll be just you next week.
It's just going to be me, and then yeah. I won't be here.
No, no. And we've got some updates on the coronavirus as well throughout the show. Just anybody that may be dealing with, you know, people living with HIV have a compromised immune system. So Terence Higgins Trust and other people have released their statements of how to deal with it.
I think people are a bit scared, aren't they? A lot of media attention and stuff, so it's kind of a bit scary for some people.
Yeah,
I think
so we'll have a look at that.
Yeah. How have your week been anyway?
Pretty busy. The talks that myself and Sue do have been really busy recently. Yeah. I think all the syllabuses for sex and education seems to be all at this time of the year. So that's nice to be busy.
Yes.
Which is great.
And spring's coming.
I can smell it. I can smell it in the air.
I've had a few hours in the garden in the sunshine just pottering around.
Yeah.
I keep bees as a hobby.
I've had some of your honey.
Yep, so that's my honey. And the bees have been out flying, starting to get the first pollen and nectar from the flowers and crocuses and that. So it's nice. Good sign of spring.
I know, that's really nice that we can actually say spring is coming, but on saying that, 2007... in April, we had lots and lots of snow in Brighton.
Yeah, well,
we had loads
I think we
of
deserve
snow
it.
In
we
April.
We need a bit of snow. That's
so we're not out of the woods yet.
We need some snow.
Yeah, it's
I love snow.
Let's not annoy the listeners, though, by saying that we like snow.
Well, it's happened.
It's all right, so it turns to slush.
Yeah. That's what everyone says. Yeah, yeah.
So, let's have a try. Do you like Japan, anyone?
Yeah,
like
gosh.
Japan. I've never been.
Oh, you know. Let's have a little bit of quiet life. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. So, we're here with David Frey.
Hello there.
How are you doing again?
I'm good, yes. I'm a little bit damp, but thankfully on radio now I can see my hair. So.
Yeah, well, it's wild.
So, yeah, we've got you in to talk about yourself, which I know you're good at.
Mm-hmm. So I'm the expert in me.
So it'd be nice to just give us an introduction of who you are and,
sure.
And where
so,
you started in life.
I was diagnosed with HIV in 1993 in November. And funny enough, I was listening to Carl's life story the other day on this show, and you were talking about your seroconversion. So I had a really bad fever and sweats and was incredibly weak in sort of July of 1993.
Right.
And the doctors did tests for glandular fever and rheumatic fever and scarlet fever and all these things. And all the tests came back negative. And I felt instinctively that there was something different about me. I knew there was something different about me. So I was quite a busy boy at the time, at that time in my life, in my early 20s. So I was going for regular sexually transmitted infection tests and things at the local Claude Nicole Centre in Brighton. And I finally had an HIV test in November, and I was diagnosed HIV positive then. So, that took a while to sink in. I struggled with that, but it was nice to know. But also, it was a very dark time. It was just, I think, as the AZT treatments were coming out, so
okay.
there was a sort of glimmer of hope in treatment. They were still giving it to people in very toxic doses, and it was poisoning people because the doctors were just throwing as much of the stuff as they could at people because not knowing how people
exactly,
responded.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I stayed away from there because I was a bit scared of that. But after a year or two, my health and CD4 count had started to dramatically decline, and I think I started treatment in 1995.
So 3 or 4 years after originally being diagnosed?
Yeah. So about a year and a half to 2 years after being diagnosed, I wanted people to learn from my mistake at becoming infected with HIV. So I started voluntary work then for what was the Sussex AIDS Centre and Helpline, which had a 24-hour helpline and provided for care for people in their homes for people living with AIDS. And also did an HIV prevention service for gay men that used to go out into the bars and pubs and clubs, and I did that, and I was an outreach worker there.
So I'm going to chip in every now and then with a couple of backward steps. So at the time when that was all happening, was there other people around you being diagnosed as well?
Yes. So some close friends had been diagnosed, and that prompted me not just to go for my regular STI check, but to actually go ahead and have an HIV test. So a dear friend of mine had been diagnosed about 3 or 4 months before I did, and he very kindly came along with me to my test. In those days, you had to have a test, and you were forced to wait a week for the results. I don't know if that was because of the ways that tests were done, or they needed to support people in giving them the final result.
Yeah.
I remember the advisor giving me a big hug, which I at the time thought was clinically inappropriate, but he really felt for me. And the advice was to plan for my funeral and, you know, write my will and wish me all the best. I refer to those days as the dark days. I don't know how other people refer to them.
That week waiting must have been like,
it was hurrying. It was like a limbo, just not knowing. And they wouldn't give results over the phone. You had to go in, and I think you had to take somebody with you, I think, as well. Although they gave you the information to yourself, one-to-one.
Yeah,
and right.
Your friends sort of took you home.
And remind me of your age at this time again.
So I was 23. Yeah. So there was a cluster of my friends that were diagnosed around that time.
Right.
So the volunteering at the Sussex AIDS Centre.
Yeah.
So is that where was that in Brighton?
That was in Cavendish Street, just off St James's Street. So it was quite central to the gay village, and that was set up by people living with HIV. I think the director himself was HIV positive. It received money from social services to provide the home care for people in their homes that couldn't get out, because obviously there was a lot of scaremongering about that. You know, but clinicians or certain hospitals or GPs were not very well educated about it, so we had dedicated teams that went and cared for people in their homes and changed their bedding and did the laundry and things like that, because people were that was the time of AIDS, and thankfully we don't hear of AIDS hardly at all, apart
rare.
From late diagnoses now. I enjoyed it. There was a good social element to the outreach work, so I was going out and meeting people and talking very frankly about sex, using language that our peers used.
What was the reaction of people at that time then?
That time, I think, for myself, it sounds strange, I thought it was almost inevitable that I'd become HIV positive. I mean, I was aware from media reports there wasn't much of a gay press at the time. I think it was Gay Times and maybe a couple of Free London papers, but and certainly some of the mainstream media were talking about clusters of gay men in San Francisco and around the sort of the bathhouse culture in America, and they were calling it I think originally it was called GRID, wasn't it? Gay related immune deficiency.
A gay disease, which is where the nickname came from.
It was also called HTLV-3.
Anyway,
and then eventually they decided it was going to be called the HIV. As listeners know, the human immunodeficiency virus.
Yeah.
Um, So I found people were very curious about it. I don't think they were scared. I think at that time, condoms were the way of preventing HIV. I found it had a negative... Working as an outreach worker had a negative effect on my sex life because I was 9 to 5, I was sort of working in the Sussex AIDS Centre and then going out in the evenings and talking about it. And I was spending all day talking about sex and thinking about sex, but when it actually came to my own personal enjoyment, actually nothing at all. It became very much a work thing. And I could be
a cup of tea.
Detached from it. Yeah, I'd rather have a cup of tea to quote Boy George. do now sometimes.
Yeah.
It is quite amazing that a lot of people that are diagnosed then want to carry it forward and help others,
yes,
which
yes.
is what you've done,
and yourself,
and myself, yes, as well. Yes. It's exactly the same kind of pattern.
Mm.
And I always see it as the yourself, David, would be the voice of someone who can't speak for themselves about living with HIV or something like that. So it's great that you did that such underground work in the early days that has come forward to Brighton being one of the best places in the UK to actually live with HIV because of our services have been developed so well.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Brighton services are fantastic. I mean, I'm partly here to talk about my work volunteering with Sussex Beacon, and we have a service user forum, and one of our forum members has been researching the Fast Track Cities initiative, and he's been contacting people in various cities across the globe, and he's been amazed by some of the responses about what we have here in Brighton. I mean, there are people in Amsterdam that have been talking to him and saying, well, why don't we have services like Lunch Positive or Peer Action or Terence Higgins Trust?
Right.
And really, it's down to us as individuals and members of a community to create these things ourselves. Mm. The Sussex Beacon was created because there was an insufficient amount of hospice space for people with AIDS at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
what was the leap from doing the from the start? Mm. Was there anything else that was in between, or was it straight into the Sussex Beacon
So I carried on with the Sussex AIDS Centre, and then due to the success in treatments, people no longer needed to be cared for at home.
Right.
So funding was withdrawn, and that was a major part of the income for the Sussex AIDS Centre.
Yeah.
And it wasn't able to sustain itself just with an outreach service. So Terence Higgins Trust expanded into Brighton and took over the Sussex AIDS Centre. So that then became the Terence Higgins Trust, and I just moved over along with the other staff and volunteers.
Right.
And I started volunteering for the Terence Higgins Trust. And they were fantastic. They recognised the work that the outreach team were doing, and they created a multimedia team and trained people up in radio and in press and print media and in web development and created health promotion campaigns based in Brighton locally and again using local language and using appropriate models that people could identify with. And that carried on. I actually was employed by THT shortly after that for a few years.
Really interesting.
It is, yeah.
And after that, I had a bit of a break because it became a bit too much because I was dealing with HIV both personally, socially with my friends, and professionally. And I just thought I needed a break. Anyway, after a short break for a few years, I then set up a group with a nurse, funnily enough, that works at the Sussex Beacon that recognised that people's mood was lifted by going out into the countryside and interacting with nature and sharing that experience with other people. So with his support, I set up a group called Outdoor Positive, and that was a community group, not a charity, which had a website that people could find out what our events were. And every week we would do a walk, 1 to 3 miles or so, and we'd explore the lovely countryside we have around Brighton, the Sussex Downs.
That's great. It gets people out.
Yeah. And just to get away from the inner city. And
socialising as well, which is really important.
And it was lovely as a facilitator watching how people interacted. So you could walk together as a group, and then people were sharing their stories with each other about, treatments or doctors or clinics. Mm. And you'd see them going off into twos or threes, and then they'd be discussing whatever they need to discuss.
Right.
And then come back into the group, and, we'd always make sure that the slowest walkers were accommodated. We didn't go too fast for them, and, we made sure that all the events were accessible by public transport for people that didn't drive. All events were free. So on rainy days, we'd, go to the Natural History Museum in Brighton, the Booth Museum, or we'd you know, go and feed the ducks at Queen's Park, and, you know, just have a variety of events.
It doesn't really matter what you do, it's about being together and getting people out.
Yeah. And that's support as well. Shall we have a music interlude?
Yeah, let's do.
That's a very polite way.
I think, because it's looking at the media frenzy around coronavirus and the what happened in the dark days with HIV and the government's tombstone campaigns, I've chosen a track called Mad World, which some people may remember from Tears for Fears. And this version's by Gary Jules, and it's a white label.
Let's have a listen. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I nearly forgot them. I'm here with Carl and David from The Beacon.
Hello.
How is everyone?
Yeah, tired. No, yeah, I'm not allowed to say tired. Really interesting story to listen to David.
Amazing.
So talk some more.
I've come on air to talk about is the Sussex Beacon Service User Forum. So we have a forum which is just a collection of people for discussion and debate, and it's comprised of people that use or have used Sussex Beacon services. And it's quite important for the Sussex Beacon that we have input from people living with HIV, because obviously over the years our needs have changed. And, you know, it's good to know that we're, you know, targeting services properly. Yeah. So I'm a volunteer at the Sussex Beacon. I used to be a trustee, a member of the Board of Trustees. But I stepped down in the autumn of last year, and I enjoy working there so much and enjoy meeting the people that I've carried on. So I am a member of the forum. So my role at the moment is secretary. I have been chair of the forum in previous meetings, but I'm delighted to say that with March being International Women's Month, coming up at the weekend, we have a member of our Women and Family Service who will be chairing the meeting for the first time. And I hope we have other members of the Women and Family Service attending as well. So we have a broad range of discussions, mostly about Sussex Beacon services, but we do look further afield.
I was a guest, wasn't I?
You were. Yeah, you came along in November.
Yeah, was that long ago?
Yeah. Because our last guests were the actual Lawson Unit, who listeners may be aware are the main HIV clinic in Brighton, and they wanted to come and engage with us and invite people to attend their patient panel or their really talk about how they want to involve patients in their work and see how we do it at the Sussex Beacon. And Josh, as you say, you came along in November. So this month we've got one of our trustees called Felicity Morgan. She'll be attending and she'll be presenting some information from the latest trustee meetings. And that's really important that we have transparency, that people people living with HIV can see what's discussed at board meetings. Obviously there are some sensitive matters that can't be disclosed, like salaries and pay and staff things, but the forum also sends things to the Board of Trustees for their consideration. So the one of the suggestions at the last meeting at the forum was that the Sussex Beacon should allow compassionate pets. I don't know if that's the right term to use, but basically somebody had stayed at a hospital and a caring pet was allowed to come onto the ward to comfort them and
greet them. Really good.
And up till recently, the animal policy at the Sussex Beacon was obviously to try and protect patients from infections brought in by animals and things. But the board has agreed to look at the animal policy again with a view to compassionate pets. So the forum can influence policies of the Sussex Beacon. We can ask them to change things, look at things again. We can propose new policies.
And this is all in mind for keeping the people that are living with HIV at the forefront of everything,
isn't it? And that's important. That's one of the key standards of care that the British HIV Association has set out. So they recently updated their standards of care, I think, last year. previously it was a 2014 version, I think, but it's quite important to have patients involved in their care, because we're not just passively receiving services, we should be actively involved in delivering those as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Because our needs have changed, and we're a very diverse bunch of people, you know, there's men and women of all ages and genders nowadays. You know, it's not just, you know, the traditional binary choices. So, and the forum also engages in projects and pieces of work. So last year, we engaged in a piece of work that helped meet patients' expectations who are staying at the Sussex Beacon. The Sussex Beacon has 10 beds inpatient ward, but we also have health management services that are designed around healthy living choices, including mindfulness as a healthy living exercise program, which has just moved out now to 2 days a week.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Which is news to listeners. And that's all to help reduce frailty and hopefully prevent people staying from the inpatient ward.
Right.
So, you know, the services that you see downstairs at the Sussex Beacon are almost trying to help people not need the services upstairs and on the ward. So the piece of work we did last year was we got people who had stayed on the ward before to offer advice, you know, and people who had never stayed on the ward to ask questions. And we put those two sets of data together and produced a report for people's to help improve their expectations when they should ever need to stay on the ward.
Right.
So things like, you know, if you're a light sleeper, bring some earplugs, or, you know, if you've got your favourite pair of slippers, by all means, bring them. You know?
Yeah.
So, no, advice and questions. So this year, we're going to be starting on a new project, which I haven't told the forum about yet, but we'll be looking at, when you stay at the inpatient ward, you're told to bring your medication, and that we have a procedure called self-administering of medication.
Okay.
And that's different levels. So some people are very proficient at taking their medication and adhering to the times when they need to be taken and the food they need to eat it with, if they do or not. Our current policy is nearly a decade old now. And we had a discussion at the forum recently, and it wasn't quite working for some people, so the managers on the inpatient ward have said they'd be delighted if the forum could engage with helping create a new policy which meets our current needs.
And without that information, you can't move and grow and
yeah, I mean, if policy is 10 years old, if you look at how HIV care has changed in the last 10 years, I mean, with PrEP and PEP and, you know, certain pills that have been a game changer in keeping people undetectable. So, you know, allowing people to choose how to take their medications when staying on the ward is very important. And it's also all about, you know, minimising the impact that staying away from home may have. So, you know, if you're used to a certain routine at home, then why shouldn't you have that same routine if you stay at a hospital or an in-bed patient unit like the Sussex Beacon?
Yeah, sounds amazing. So Carl's just had a coughing fit.
You're better now. I'm fine now.
Lots of noise going on now.
Trying not to interrupt David with his great information they've given us. Sorry.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, you are. Yeah, I'm fine now.
I haven't got a temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's episode.
Yeah, no. Let's have a song.
Yes,
and then it'd be nice to just if we can come back and just speak about other parts of Sussex that you hit.
See what you're presenting. You know, the other news items on the show.
Exactly. Let's do that. I forgot.
So, what's your second track, David? The Afrojack.
Oh, right, so yeah, that's a Donna Summer track, so which from the Disco Lovers will like, but it's a slightly more updated version, and it should get people tapping their feet.
Bit of Donna Summer, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I
need to sit down after that.
We didn't know when to come back for that one, because it's like, God. Let's all have a sit down and a breather. A cup of tea.
Well, I was driving through Brighton this last week, and it was a Thursday, and I turned my radio on in the car, and it was me, and you. And it was very strange, and my own music, and
I like it, it's good.
Welcome to the HIV Hour. If any of our listeners want to get in touch with us, please get in touch with us at HIV_hour where are we?
What do you mean? In Brighton?
Yeah, in Brighton. And I mean on Twitter, that's the bit I missed out, sorry.
Yeah.
Or email us on the show, and you can request any news that you want to discuss, or any songs that you would like to request as well.
So just, David's still with us.
Hello.
Hello. People want to get in contact at the Beacon?
If they want to contact me about the forum, then my email address is just simply david@sussexbeacon.org.uk.
Yeah.
And if you want to contact the Beacon about any of its services, then go to the Sussex Beacon website, which is sussexbeacon.org.uk.
Okay, that's great.
Great, okay. So that was a really nice chat that we've just had with you. You're going to stay with us now.
Yeah.
We have mentioned coronavirus, and you also mentioned coronavirus within your story as well, because we have some scaremongering. Whenever anything comes into the news in this way and as this quick, especially within it being a relatively new virus, we don't know a lot about it, and it does take us back to when we didn't know about HIV. We're also there with SARS, and we also got there with the Zika virus a couple of years ago. So what is different about the coronavirus? And the only thing that we can say is it's new. We don't know a lot about it.
That's the problem. That's the problem. That's what's causing the trouble, isn't it? Yeah.
So people with compromised immune systems already, people living with HIV, we've had BIVA, which is the British HIV Association, release their kind of statement towards people, keeping people safe within the HIV community. And it's relatively the same as now.
Yeah.
Look after yourself, and any signs of kind of sniffles or you feel as though you're getting a cold or cough, the advice isn't to go to your GP. It's actually to ring your GP and get them to give you some good advice over the phone, which will then stop people going into environments where there's coughs and colds around in the environment.
Yeah.
So that's one bit of advice. David, have you got anything else on,
yeah, so
on this?
You mentioned the British HIV Association. They've issued some guidelines for health professionals, and just skip reading through it. I think the most important advice for us to take on is that it's probably good practice if people living with HIV have received their recent influenza vaccinations and also the pneumococcal vaccinations. So that should help protect people against respiratory disease.
It's interesting because people have been, there's been racist things, hasn't there? Racist attacks, and you were talking about...
Yes, against Asian people.
Yeah, and it's scary things, isn't it, what we can do.
Yeah, when the first case of COVID-19, as it's now called, was discovered in Brighton, some of the press language was quite alarming. They were calling him a plague carrier.
Yeah, and
that really brought back memories of the darker days of living with HIV. but yeah, there's the... I'm not informed enough to talk about coronavirus. I think the best is to listen to Public Health England. Don't go into surgeries. If you're feeling unwell, self-isolate, ring NHS, is it 111?
Yeah, exactly. Get as much information as you can. We're trying to keep people from picking information up from the internet. If you're going to look for the source, go to the NHS's website themselves and get the information from there. Don't cross-check anything else.
Terence Higgins have got
and
as well.
Trusted news sources. I mean, avoid social media because, you know, rumours and gossip spread like wildfire, and quite often they're not based up by facts. So, you know, the traditional news outlets like the BBC or ITV, Channel 4, the broadsheet newspapers that, obviously, the NHS is probably the best source, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So if anyone is concerned, then just get in touch with your GP. So that's what we're going to do. Obviously, what we try and do on the show is try and get some stories. And there's a story that's just come out recently. The midway.
It is the Mildmay.
Mildmay.
There you go.
I'm so
thank
glad
you. Someone
that
can speak.
Mildmay.
Which is the Princess Diana AIDS and HIV hospital.
And that's in Shoreditch, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's under threat of closure, isn't it?
Yeah, they're having trouble getting funding, and it's up to £3 million per year to keep the place running. And it's difficult because we have many, many people living better and longer with HIV, but there are still, which then cuts services down, but we've still got people struggling with different aspects of living with HIV, with their health. And we need places like this. And it stands alone on its own. I mean, it's been going 35 years. And unfortunately, we are starting to see places like this close down because of lack of funding. Mm. And it's quite sad, really, because these places were the forefront of everything back to when
there
you were saying
the Mildmay and the Sussex Beacon both had inpatient units you know, or beds where people could stay and have palliative care or have end-of-life care or even just, you know, getting people back on their feet and getting them back into the community. In fact, the success of HIV treatment has meant that, you know, not everybody needs to stay in an inpatient bed anymore.
No.
And I think the Mild May... started to specialise in people with cognitive impairments. Obviously, HIV is one of the viruses that can pass between the blood and the brain barrier.
Right.
So you get people with conditions which I can't pronounce that need sort of long-term support and residential care. And the Mild May was very good and specialised, or is very good and specialises in care for those people.
But it was Prince Harry opened a new unit, 24-bed unit in 2015.
Really?
So it's
longer. Fingers crossed.
I do hope for them that they manage to find funding elsewhere.
Because it'd be a shame, you know, London has the highest numbers of people living with HIV in the UK. So, you know, for these kind of services to disappear because of funding would be a shame, a real shame, really. So if anyone wants to take a look at their website, please have a look at their website. Yeah. And
support.
If you're living within London, get in touch with your MPs, you know,
You
know, get in touch with your local NHS commissioners.
Rally round.
Because the Sussex Beacon had similar problems a few years ago, and thankfully we know the Sussex Beacon is now in a very strong position, and we're very happy, but I really do sympathise with them, and I hope and wish them every success.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's the only specialist hospital in Europe, it says.
Which is great. I mean, I mean, that's...
It needs to be there.
It needs to be there. If it holds that, it needs to be there.
Your track.
My track? Is it Disciples?
I think it is.
Okay, that's good then, because I like this one.
It's called All Mine.
All your ones.
I know, yeah.
So, welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.
So, we're just going to look at some other stories just before we go this evening. PrEP, for anybody that's out there listening, is a pill that you can take if you're HIV negative, and that will allow you to feel a lot more comfortable with having unprotected sex. We do say that you should be using condoms alongside with PrEP. I think it's fair to say. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is just get PrEP out there to as many people as possible. And Dean Street, 56 Dean Street in London, have now teamed up with Sweatbox and some local saunas to have what is called a PrEP box. And that will allow, so if anybody wants to get involved, if you're under 25, you're HIV negative, you're having sex without condoms, and you're willing to attend Dean Street Express quarterly, then you are eligible for free PrEP, which is really, really good way of getting everybody on PrEP. Now, some people don't agree with PrEP. There might be people out there that are not too sure about it. But actually, we know the facts are, even if you're having ad hoc sex and you're taking this pill, that is protecting you from contracting HIV. Yes. So as much as, you know, there's, you know, might be some negative stuff out there about it, it's all positive in my eyes, because I wish, if I took myself back to 9 years ago when I was first diagnosed, I wish I'd been able to go on it. So you know, if you are listening and you are in the London area, please get in touch with Dean Street, because you know, you are eligible to take PrEP for free, and they will provide it for you, which is just getting more people on PrEP, the better.
Oh, prevention is better than cure, without a doubt. And let's not forget, there's no cure.
Exactly. Yeah.
So prevention is better than treatment.
Exactly.
And cheaper, too.
Yeah. So, you know, we are getting there. So that's that story.
Yeah, that's good. And we've got Mark on from PrEPster.
Next week.
Interview, which would be a good thing to talk about, all things PrEP. All things PrEP. a bit community news, actually.
Okay.
So, again, work positive, which is something I'm close to. They're going to get people starting again in June. So that's the Terence Hinger Trust will be delivering the Work Positive programme a bit differently. The new version of the programme will be a blended service where everyone will be given access to a variety of digital learning modules, webinars, mentoring and support. For volunteering, training, or work.
It's just a really good way of getting back into work.
Yeah, it's changed. The Sussex Work Positive is a bit different, so it's a bit more geared for individuals' needs and a bit more, it's done over a few months.
Life skills, isn't it?
Life skills, absolutely. So if you're interested, contact Laura Burgess and you can on our direct line, which is Terence Higgins Trust. That's 01273 764 226. Her mobile, her contact details is 07769239295, and she works between Monday and Thursdays. So it's a really good programme. I can tear from my heart that it's a very worthwhile looking into.
You wouldn't be here if it wasn't.
No,
that's
very, very true. Yes, I wouldn't be doing this. So yeah.
What else have we got? Community news?
There's the HIV Commission tomorrow.
Yes, this is really important. So if anyone would like to have a voice within the Brighton and Hove community, and this is working alongside the commissioners within the council, to get a voice for people living with HIV, see what we can get the services down to, and so on. And this is tomorrow.
So tomorrow at the Hove Town Hall.
Yeah.
Between 2 and 5. Are you going to do this?
I'm going. I booked 2 tickets this morning. Yes. And in fact, there are still tickets available. And that's available on the Eventbrite website or app. So just search HIV Commission. And there are different ones all over the country. Choose the Brighton and Hove one.
And that's at the Hove Town Hall, 2 p.m. onwards, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and there's something else on the Women's Day as well, just to mention that again.
That's
so,
this weekend.
Yeah, so we at the Sussex Beacon, we have a Women and Family Service that supports women and their families and helps them. And on Friday, the 20th of March, there will be a special themed day of HIV and women's health updates, and that will be sort of attended and presented by Dr. Yvonne Gleese, who's an expert in women's fertility and living with HIV, and she's based at the Lawson Unit, so she'll be at the Sussex Beacon on Friday the 20th of March. If you're interested, get in touch via the Sussex Beacon website.
Great.
That show went really quick.
Yeah, it did.
Really good to see you, David, and thanks for coming on.
I'll come again.
Yeah, you'll come on again, yeah.
And if anyone wants to take a listen to our older shows or any other show or this show on a repeat, then please go to our Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com and look for HIV Hour, and you may listen to any of our shows that we've done in the past, which is really good. And the podcasts as well.
Anyway, I'm going to play my track. It's going to be a few seconds, but my new track called Dance While the Record Spins. So I'm going to play that.
Excellent.
Good to see you. Good night.
Cheers.
We'll see you
good night
week.
To everyone. Bye.
This is the world of Radio Reverb.